We are doing the Meiri's work on Jewish history, the Seder HaKabbalah. And the Meiri had gone off on a tangent, having mentioned that Moshe was the greatest prophet. He said, well, what about Moshe versus Bilam? He went on to explain what Chazal mean when they say that Bilam was a great prophet among the non-Jews, greater even than Moshe among the Jews. And then he says, "Menashuv ledarinu." Now let's get back to the point at hand. Vehushi nabe b'tzivui eloki shaluach me'et Hashem le'am kadosh b'otot tolim u'mortim chazakim. And that is that Moshe prophesied in accordance with what God told him. God sent him to the holy nation with great miracles and wondrous strong miracles. Nitpasamu lekol shomehim, and everyone's heard of Moshe's miracles. You know, they're probably the most famous miracles. It's not about a man walking on water. It's about a man turning the Nile to blood, you know, for 7 days. Everyone sees the Nile's blood. It's not one man and a few people say that they saw, but rather all of Egypt. And it's written in the Torah, and the Torah was given 49 days later, and no one refuted it for the first few thousand years since the Torah was given. So everyone's heard of the miracles of Moshe. Kol sheken rohem, certainly all those who saw Moshe's miracles, they knew about it. Everyone recognized that Hashem was with Moshe. Hashem had touched him. As we see, even the Egyptians were forced to admit, the sorcerers of Pharaoh say, that's God's pinky, that's God's finger. Etzba is usually the pointer. Okay. Lo mechokhmat adam, they said, Paro, this isn't because Moshe is so smart. Rak pele yoetz kel gibor avi atzar shalom, ish milchama kanov nokem, but rather it is the omnipotent God who he understands everything. He's master of peace. He is the master of war. He is zealous. He takes revenge. Ve'im marut anshe amonam, tamid enei haidam shotetot vahim, meirim lehem ka sapirim. And when people misbehave, so to speak, so then the leaders give them light for them to walk by that light. And the leader who's giving God's light now is Moshe. And even the Egyptians recognize that he was the leader who was sent to give God's light in the world. Yes. There is a medrash that says Bilam was Lavan. Ibn Ezra and others say it means that Bilam had Lavan's traits. It doesn't mean literally it was the same person. And we find Moshe went all out. He went to extreme measures to warn them the mitzvahs of Hashem, and we see Moshe takes great measures to distance people from idol worship. Because historically, the Jewish people kept returning to paganism. In Egypt, after Egypt, the golden calf in our parsha, all the years of the judges, the years of the kings, the Jews are always going back to idol worship. Ulam titpale me'am chacham echayut matmidim betut kol kach dor achar dor. You might wonder, how could such a smart nation err time and again, generation after generation? Aval teda sheteva ha'amon karov le'amin b'mashu masigo yoter mima she'eino ma'amin b'mashe'eino masigo. But you have to understand that the nature of the masses is that it's easier to believe in what they can see. They see their neighbors are serving Zeus. They see their neighbors are serving all the different gods. And they have something physical, something tangible, something they could see. And we have to believe in something that you don't see. Where is he? Point to God. The Meiri says, at the same time, it wasn't that they didn't believe what they didn't comprehend, but they did believe what they did comprehend. Meaning it's easier to believe in something which you see than to not believe in what you don't see. That's what the Meiri is saying. So maybe it's a misprint. Maybe it should say than to believe in what you don't see. But maybe it also means that they it's not that they didn't believe in God. It's that God, okay, but Zeus, I see. It wasn't that they completely didn't believe in God, which is the way many interpret it. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what he means to say here.
Similar like Yitro?
What do you mean?
From Yitro, we know it's the reverse way from what Abraham did. Abraham found the same positive search. Yitro did it backwards. So, he did not believe that Hashem doesn't exist. He did believe. But he also spoke like others are also valid. It's the same what you're saying here.
Seems that way.
The
Rishonim and the Talmud calls that Shituf. As though there's a partnership. There's God, and then there are other forces. Yeah.
Why does everybody always blame neighbors? It's always, they had pagan neighbors, and they saw it. It didn't seem like...
Well, where does it come from? You know, look at...
I think it's kind of like an innate human urge. I think if a child grows up alone by a river with big trees, starts thanking the trees for providing cover for rain, and start thanking the river for the fish that he eats, and I think it's a natural internal thing, and I don't think that it can be blamed on neighbors. I've heard this so many times over and over that it just bothers me. It doesn't make any...
I'll tell you, I think I hear what you're saying, and I'm not sure. I think that the main reason that people say it is because that's the way the Torah describes it. That if you leave foreign nations in your midst, they'll lead you astray. Children will intermarry, and then they'll lead the people astray. But is the blame primarily on the neighbors, or is the blame to a great extent on our own shoulders? I'm not sure. You're saying there's a natural evolvement that way. You have to remember, if they're celebrating Pesach and they're putting on tefillin and they're wearing an em mezuzah and they have all these declarations that say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, to say that they could so easily go astray, it's a little difficult.
No, but it seems difficult to believe that every single Jew who went astray had a pagan neighbor.
Oh no! Once there's a movement, then there's a movement. Once there are other people doing it, so then it's your Jewish neighbors who have idols in their backyards. But Chazal seemed to say like you. Chazal seemed to say that the Yetzer Hara to do Avodah Zarah was so powerful, the only thing we could compare to today is the Yetzer Hara to do Znus.
Znus?
Yeah. Znus promiscuity. It's Thursday night. All over the world, there are a lot of people being promiscuous tonight.
In Israel, Friday, tomorrow night.
Friday night is all over the world, okay.
No, because we have our weekend starting now. Doesn't our weekend start Friday night?
Okay, fine. I don't know it well enough, thank God.
Yeah. But America, Friday night, Saturday night, Israel.
Fine, I got you, okay. But I'm just saying, so... But that's the only thing we could compare it to. We don't understand it, but that seems to be like you're saying. That even without our neighbors, we would want to go down that road. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, yeah. So, the Miri had said, that's the nature of the masses. You're right, the Miri didn't blame the neighbors. The Miri said, like David said, I take it back. The words of the Miri is, Sheteva ha'amon, Karov le'amin v'mashu masigo. The nature of the masses is easier to believe something which they can perceive. Seems like David saying that there's a natural tendency to end up being pagan.
I read a book.
Okay. V'lachen haya teva mitkarev la'avodat alilim she'ata nimshechet la'galgalim. And that's why the nature drew them to serving the idols, which was closer to serving the constellations, the movements of the stars, the cycles that they could see in nature. And that's what the Medrash Rabba and Dvarim says. Shema tomorrow, mot yeshlem b'mal yishol ani b'mal yishal. Maybe you'll say, the nations, they have a way of finding out the future. They have their fortune tellers. Who am I going to ask? Hadao dichtiv, that's why the Pasuk says, Navi mikir b'cha. I will give you a prophet from within you. Kol shekeni mesigem atzlachai mahem. כמאמרם כשיורף אבותינו ומאז חדלנו לקטר למלך שמיים ויסר לנסחים חסרנו כל. And certainly it was a difficult challenge when they saw that when they were pagans they were more successful. The people saying Jeremiah, you know, our forefathers when they worshipped the constellations they were more successful than we are now. So people would look and say, gee, my grandfather was a pagan, he was a millionaire. I'm a God-fearing Jew and I'm a pauper. Something's wrong. So again, we have a tendency to go with what we perceive. And so a person is more easily going to be attracted to serving the pagan gods without the neighbors, like David said. And the fact that the Pasuk has to tell us, you don't have to go that route. I'll give you profit, shows us that they naturally would want to go that route, and all the more so when they felt they were more successful when they had gone down that road. That's what Habakkuk the prophet said. That's why they worship these idols, the Navi says, because they feel that their cattle was more prosperous when they were worshiping these idols. And that's what one of the sages was told in the Talmud in Sanhedrin. The sage came to give class and he said, okay guys, now at the end of class, we'll pick up here tomorrow and we'll discuss our friends. Who was he talking about when he said our friends? He was talking about Menashe, the king of Israel. Menashe appeared to him in a dream and said, you think I'm your friend? Yeah? Tell me, when you come to cut bread, where do you start cutting the bread? You make a bracha amotzi. Where are you supposed to start cutting? So the Rosh Yeshiva said, gee, I don't know. So Menashe said, you don't even know how to slice bread in accordance with halacha, and you think you're my friend? Who do you think you are saying I'm your friend? I want to tell you, if you would have been in my generation, if you would have been in that generation, my generation, says Menashe, Nekita Chipulach, you would have lifted up your garment, Verehitat Batrai, you would have ran after me to serve idols. How dare you call me your friend? You think I sinned in idol worship because I'm small like you, so to speak? You're my friend? No. You don't begin to understand the desire we had in my day. So the Miri says, what was the desire? The desire was that God allowed the pagan gods, so to speak, when people would worship the pagan gods, God allowed them to be even more successful. So people had every reason to feel like, gee, why don't I? And there was a great desire, an inner urge, let me go follow that. Then along came the men of the great assembly and uprooted that desire. So we, throughout the period of the Second Temple and the Talmud and the Mishnah, you don't find people having this great desire to be pagans. I haven't seen anyone set up a tree and bow down to it. I'm not worried about people bowing to the candle I lit over there. You know, we don't worry about that now. We don't have that desire. We don't even understand that desire. But it used to exist. And this is what you find. This is, so to speak, the hinge that the whole Torah revolves around. The Torah says, unless you lift your eyes up to the heaven and you'll see the constellations and you'll say, why don't I worship them the way the nations do? They seem to be so successful doing that. So Moshe, that the Miri was focused on Moshe, and he says Moshe invested so many efforts and gave so many warnings in the Torah not to be pagans because the desire was so great, and we find the nation kept on returning to that error, repeating that error, returning to their pagan ways. Yes?
Throughout to confirm that the whole thing about paganism is they feel a person who does this feels that they're in control, and that it's a huge leap of faith to trust God to do everything and to know that we really don't control anything in this world, and that paganism allows us to have some control. That because then it didn't actually work. Like, there was some efficacy to idolatry.
There was?
Some efficacy that it
What does efficacy mean?
Effective.
That's what the Meiri seems to be saying.
That's the draw, is to be in control, not to have to trust God.
I don't know. I'm not sure I would go that route. I don't know. I don't know of a source for saying that. I hear what you're saying, but having read the Iliad and Odyssey, that's not the impression I'm getting. I mean, that's not the impression I get from the works of those times. But I'm not sure it's worth spending so much time understanding what the draw is. So that's why I don't want to go into it.
I don't know. Isn't it supposed to come back?
I don't know. I